Hey, metalheads, this is Rock from Radioactive Metal, and you're listening to our brothers, Focus on Metal.
Hey, Metalhead, Scott Thompson here, welcoming you to episode 254 of Focus on Metal. So we have got a great show in store for you this week. We have Jerry Gaskill from King's X coming back on the show to talk about his brand new solo album, Love and Scars. And I also have my special guest, Rock, from the Radioactive Metal podcast, dropping by for a little bit of discussion. But first off, want to start off with a bit of a commercial message, I guess you could say, or at least a way of supporting somebody who's been a longtime supporter of the show, and that would be metal author and all-around good guy, Martin Popoff. As you know, we've had Martin on the show several times, and he's always coming out with great new books on hard rock and heavy metal. And Martin has decided that in going for his next book, he's really going to make his time count on this one and put something out that he feels that everybody wants to read. So in order to do that, he needs a little bit of a response from you metal fans out there. So those of you who've already bought books from Martin in the past, you may have already got an email from Martin about what I'm going to talk about. So you are probably already in the loop on this. But if not, or if you've never bought a book from Martin before, here's the deal. Martin wants to know what he should write about next. And what he wants to do is have you actually pre-order the book that you would like him to write. So a lot of these ones are already, I guess, underway in a way, but he just kind of wants to know, hey, what should I focus on in order to fill the pre-orders for the most popular book? So he's got some great choices. So the first book that he's thinking of is called Shock Tactics, The Explosive Early Years of the New Wave of British Heavy Metal. It's part one of a two-volume set. It's kind of like the Who Invented Heavy Metal book, if you haven't read that one, really good. But it's a whole timeline in New Orleans with the quotes and images, and it covers the 70s and 1980. And then there's a second volume of it, which is called This Means War, The Sunset Years of the New Wave of British Heavy Metal. And again, it's like the Who Invented Heavy Metal one. And again, it's more of a timeline with quotes and ad images, and it goes from 81 to 84. Then also in the offering is he's got a book called Who Invented Punk. He's got another one that he's proposing called Who Invented Thrash. And again, all of those, as I said, is like his Who Invented Heavy Metal book, which is a great book. It's almost a scholarly look at the evolution of heavy metal and really putting forward a case of each event and whether or not it qualifies as being part of the invention of heavy metal. So if you ever had that argument with a metalhead friend about who invented heavy metal, read that book and you have got some amazing stuff to come back with on the next barstool dissertation. And I'm pretty sure that as many people argue about who invented heavy metal, there's a whole bunch of us who are also out there arguing about who invented thrash. And I'm surprised he hasn't written this last one yet, and that is a Motorhead book dealing with the classic early lineup. So if one or more of those books interests you and you want to get in on this, then what you want to do is that you want to fire off a PayPal payment to martinp@inforamp.net. And in the comments there, you know, pick your first choice, your second choice, your third choice, and Martin is going to add them all up and figure out which one he is going to go for. And if your choices aren't one of the ones that actually wins, then he doesn't want to have to owe people anything. So in that case, what he would do is he'd give you basically a two for one. He's got a list of a whole bunch of his other books, and you could pick two of those books as well. And like I said, if the book you want doesn't make it, then he will send you two books from the other list of books that he has out there. And I'm going to post this whole thing up on focusonmetal.blogspot.com. You can see all the list of books, the descriptions, the whole thing. So rather than just trying to remember what the heck I just said, you can read it on focusonmetal.blogspot.com and you can see all the books. And so if you're in the U.S., the orders for this would be $34. If it's overseas, it's $40 U.S. And for Canada, it is $37 Canadian. So pretty good deal. Good offer from Martin. So again, if you want to check that whole thing out and see it in Martin's words, then you'd want to head over to focusonmetal.blogspot.com, and I'll have a posting up here with the whole thing and the link address and all of that good stuff. And all the other books that he's written, you can find those at martinpopoff.com, and that's MartinPopoff. So we got a lot of stuff to go through this week, but before we do that, I think we need to do a track of the week. Track of the week this week comes to us courtesy of Sweden's own Thunder Mother. These ladies just finished a pledge music campaign to fund their second release. It's called Road Fever. The first one was called Rock and Roll Disaster. But as I said, this is their second release. It is called Road Fever. And this one is definitely one of those CDs you just pop in the car and drive. In fact, it would have been pretty awesome to hear this band open up for AC/DC on the recent world tour. Definitely got a lot of that early AC/DC vibe going on in all of these songs. But these ladies take no prisoners, and they are just full out, no holds barred, rocking it on this one. And I'll also note that for a band that's from Sweden, they do some pretty inventive wordsmithing in English. And in fact, if you get the physical product, you will actually get the booklet with all the lyrics as well. So if you want to check them out, you can go to thundermother.com. That will give you the links to all their various social media pages. And this album is also available on Amazon. If you're going to look for it, do Thunder Mother as one word. If you do two words, you'll get some stuff, but I guarantee it isn't stuff that you really give a crap about. So, all right, track of the week. Once again, the name of the band is called Thunder Mother. The new release is called Road Fever, and this one was the first single off of the release. And if you go to the show notes for this particular episode up on focusonmetal.blogspot.com, you'll actually see a video of this one as well. The name of the song is called It's Just a Tease. Hey, Rock, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. So how's everything in the world of radioactive metal?
Things are just chugging along. Just like you guys, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Too much to do.
Yeah. So, of course, you know, you listeners out there are going, hey, this is a different voice. So for those of you guys who are not familiar with radioactive metal, I have the one and only Rock from Radioactive Metal doing a guest spot for us this week. So it's awesome to finally have you on the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
I don't think I've actually talked to you since one of those Cast Iron Ring Kiss specials.
I know, it's been a long time. I mean, we've emailed back and forth a few times, but actually speaking to each other has been a while.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, people should know too that the reason that I'm actually even speaking with you tonight, besides being friends, is the fact that I get to actually guest on your show. So it's kind of holding you hostage to do this one. So it worked out good.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, yeah, whatever works, man.
Awesome. And And so everybody knows I'm going to be doing an episode with Rock tonight on one of his album autopsy series. And if those of you guys who haven't checked any of that out yet, you should definitely go ahead and do that. And you guys are on what? You're on TuneIn, on Spreaker, on Stitcher. I mean, pretty much you name it, you guys are on it.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, we're everywhere. And we've got our own website, of course, radioactivemetal.org.
Right.
And iTunes, just like you guys.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Good deal. And of course, if you guys go up to radioactivemetal.org, you can see a great picture of Rock with the women from The Butcher Baby. So very jealous of that. Nice pic.
Thank you. Thank you. That was a little while ago. So that was 2012, I think.
Was it? Wow. Okay.
Yeah, they weren't even signed then at the time. They were still an indie band.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can tell like what year it is by the color of Heidi's hair.
Yes. she was still a blonde.
Yeah, so I think this year, right, current year, it's red this time.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, all red, fire engine red, I guess.
Yep. And did you get to see them at all on the current tour with Amaranth?
No, I haven't. The last time I saw them was on it was the Mayhem 2013.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been a little while.
All right. Yeah, because they're like East Coast at the moment, and I know they're coming up near us in November as well. So hopefully Century Media will hook us up. We'll see how that works.
Yeah, and they're supposed to, well, I know they're going to Winnipeg. You know, my co-host Snowy is in Winnipeg. Mm. They're going to Winnipeg with, is it Gwar? I think with Gwar and Battlecross. But Gwar is coming here with Battlecross and not the Butcher Babies.
Mm. So they probably are still on the Amaranth tour at that point.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that. So I'm very jealous that Snowy's going to get to see them again.
Yeah, it probably won't be nipple tape, though. It's a little cold probably already in Winnipeg.
Yeah, yeah. Well, once they got signed, you know, they pretty much changed their whole wardrobe to be a more serious band. You know, yeah, I think once they got the attention of the public, they decided, hey, let's be a little bit more serious about this.
Yeah. And, of course, it's good to talk to you about bands like this because, you know, like Richie, although he loves his metal, he's really not into some of that. But, I mean, definitely that's a great band. And what did you think of Take It Like a Man?
I have not really listened to it yet.
Really?
I have not had the chance. Well, you know, I'm sure you guys, it's the same thing. We get bombarded with so many digital promos. I mean, it's insane. Some weeks I'll get 15 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to give a fair shake to everything, I mean, gosh, there's just not enough time during the day, you know, to listen. So I have not even had a chance to listen to. I listened to the song Monster's Ball, and that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
And
you got to check it out. I bought the CD. And,
okay.
It's actually more infectious than Goliath was.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I thought Goliath was very dry.
Yeah,
the production was very dry. There's no bottom end. There's no bass. There's no poor Jason, you know, bass player. You can't hear him anywhere. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. This is more balanced. I think the mix is definitely more balanced on Take It Like a Man, okay. And they've just got some really really good hooky stuff in there, and even just some lyrical stuff that just sinks into your brain, kind of like that like stutter rhythm that they do in Monster's Ball that you walk away and hours later you just can't get that hook out of your head. There's a lot of that on that album.
Yeah, it just stays in there, you know, and you can't get rid of it ever.
Yeah.
That's a sign of a good song.
It is. I mean, that's the whole thing. And it's great that a band that with the music that they do, that they can still figure out a way to create something that's hooky like that. I mean, that's one of the things I like about Arch Enemy as well, is they have these really strong elements in there that stick with you, as mm-hmm. opposed to some of the other bands that are more in that genre where I'm all done listening to it and I can't remember a damn thing that I heard.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Have you had a chance to hear Once Human, Logan Mater's new band?
No.
You know, he's formerly from Soulfly and Machine Head.
Yeah.
He's got this new band with a female vocalist called Lauren Hart. The band is called Once Human, and dude, oh my God, it's so good. It is so good. It reminds me of Machine Head a little bit, but with a little bit more extreme, you know? And Lauren Hart, well, her vocal style is more like in the black metal vein.
Okay.
So, and she's also a guitar player, and she signed a development deal with Logan Mater and Monty Carner to you know, put out an album, and Logan Mater loved her so much that he decided to get back into playing live and doing concerts with her, and they started Once Human. It's really great stuff. I talked about it on our show. I mean, I can't get enough of that album. It's really, really good.
All right.
Really.
I'll definitely have to check that out then. Yeah. It's you know, some of the bands that are like that, I end up tending to like those. They're a little bit different, and there's enough melodicism in there as well. Just it seems to naturally occur with female singers. So yeah, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, and if you like Angela Gossow, you know, her style of, you know, when she was performing, you know, when her stage presence. Well, Lauryn Hart has the same type of stage presence. Oh. She's a small girl, but man, she's like, it's like she's taking over the whole stage. I love her. Absolutely love her. I can't wait to see them live. They actually were here with Fear Factory like a month ago, and I totally spaced out and missed it. And I'm kicking myself. I'm just totally kicking myself. But yeah, cool. You can't go to every show. You know, there's so many shows these days. My God.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. And have you heard the new Queensryche at all?
No, I kind of disconnected from Queensryche a long time ago.
Really? Oh, you got to reconnect with them, dude. You really?
Yeah, that's what everybody says, man. That's what everybody says. So, I like Todd LaTorre's vocals. Mm. I remember him from Crimson Glory, and you know, I've always liked him. But you know, I've watched a few live videos of them playing the old songs, which I enjoyed, but I haven't listened to the new stuff yet.
It's really good. I mean, Richie and I went up and we saw them live. After the self-titled one came out, and you know, we went up and talked to Michael and watched the show, and it was just unbelievable live. And even after that, I saw some videos on YouTube of that show, and the videos really didn't do the songs justice of actually just the power and everything when you were there. And the self-titled one was really good, and a lot of people were like, oh, maybe it's a one-off or whatever, but you know, Michael had said that they were really, you know, in a groove and stuff, and this new one is just fantastic. It's just, you know, every bit about it. I mean, it comes off sequence with everything strong, like up front, and kind of mellows towards the back, but it's really well done. And another thing on it that's really cool, and it's a small minor detail, but for people like me that listen on CD, like I've noticed a lot of CDs nowadays, when it gets to the last song, there's like that pause while the CD player figures out to get back to the first one. And this one, that last song ends and boom, goes right back into the first song again. So it's really nice to do that. But that's another one that's just a really solid album.
I listen to the interviews, you know, with the band members, and they're all saying the same thing. You know, we're back in like this really heavy groove, and you know, we're going to stay on this for a while. And yeah, you know, like I said, it's just not enough time during the day to check out everything, you know.
Yeah, definitely. It that's another one that's just a really good album, you know. And we were hoping that when we saw them with Scorps that, you know, they would play more of the new stuff. And maybe they did more towards the beginning. We missed the first part of their set, and actually we missed a good chunk of it because then we were in the back with James. But, you know, even live on that show, they were just kicking it. And like I said, the new album is, it just sounds like like you always wanted Queensryche to sound. And mm-hmm. you know, after all those years of scratching your head going, what the hell is going on? Probably about the time you went, all right, I'm pulling the plug on this and moving on.
Yeah, Promised Land was my last one that I bought. So that's when I disconnected. So what would you compare? Can you compare their current stuff with some of the earlier stuff?
It's very much like Warning, Rage for Order.
Okay.
And probably, and there's some elements in there of like Empire. So mm-hmm. it's driving and Scott Ruckenfeld's drumming on here is amazing. Just some of the, if you listen to it and really kind of geek out on it, just some of the tight rolls and things he's doing on the drums. It's like, holy crap, how the hell is he doing it? But just really nice work.
The more you talk about it, the more I want to listen to it now. I'm going to have to check this out after we're done.
Yeah, you have to, yeah. And, of course, probably another one. I don't know if you heard it or not, if you had a chance to hear any of the new one from A Sound of Thunder.
No. Actually, I know them just through you guys because I know you guys are big fans.
Yeah.
And, no, I have not.
Yeah, that one there is amazing that those guys now – on Heat Seekers album chart, they get up to number 8 so far on it.
Okay.
In the South Atlantic region where you are, they hit number 1 on the Heat Seekers. Hard rock album chart, they got to number 16. On the indie chart, they got to number 39.
Wow.
So pretty amazing. And actually on the one of the charts, on the hard rock albums one, they beat Scorpions, which was pretty amazing for
an independent band.
It was great to actually see that they, you know, did that. And so it's nice to see a band like that that's so freaking talented, you know, make numbers.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it shows you that, you know, hard rock and heavy metal fans actually go and buy music, you know?
Yeah, so. Yeah. And I mean, even just the fact that the, you know, their Kickstarter campaign and they kicked it off and, you know, I kind of half jokingly had said about, you know, sent out the tweet saying let's make this happen like in 24 hours, and in 21 hours they had actually funded the project. So
oh wow, that's
amazing.
Great. You know? That's great when you see stuff like that happening.
Yeah. You know, have you done any Kickstarter stuff lately? Or
it's been a while. I'm trying to think. The last one I did, I think it was an Indiegogo. It was actually for Cradle of Filth. And it was for a comic book, a graphic novel that Danny Filth wrote with a comic book writer called Kirk Amaker.
Mm-hmm.
And we interviewed Kirk on our show a couple of times. And it came with a Danny Filth voodoo doll, and I paid a little extra to get one of those worker shirts, and you know, and that's the last thing I've participated in. I'm a big comic book fan, in case your listeners don't know.
Right.
So when I saw that, I was like, and it's a horror type story, and I love horror in comics, so I was like, oh man, this is a no brainer, especially for the voodoo doll.
Now, I remember that in the past you were doing a comic podcast as well. Are you still doing that?
Oh no, that was a long time ago. Oh my gosh, it was something on Captain America that I did, but it was just with Radioactive Metal, and that it was just too much. I just didn't have time to do both, and so I stuck with the one that was having the most success, let's say. So I stayed with Radioactive Metal.
Yeah,
because we started at that point, we had just started doing a lot more interviews. You know, we have interviews practically every episode now. So you know, so we had started doing a lot of those. So it was just taking up way too much of my time to just keep with the comic book one.
Yeah, you know? Right. Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, it is kind of funny that, you know, for people that don't know, that Focus on Metal is essentially was spawned off of Radioactive Metal. So we're like we're like the Lenny and Squiggy of metal podcasts, right?
That's true.
Makes you guys Laverne and Shirley, but people are going, what the hell are they talking about?
Yeah, I know. Like old school.
But yeah, so, you know, obviously we came out of Radioactive Metal, and at that point it was more of a discussion format, and then we started off as more of a discussion format, and I think we've both migrated to more interview, less discussion on both of us.
Yeah, because interviews are so darn fun. Yeah, it's so much fun to do an interview. You know, it's a pain in the ass to book them sometimes.
Yes.
But once you get them and you get to talk to these people, it's so much fun, you know. And we get to go see shows, and I get to take pictures in the photo pit most of the time, and you know, it's really fun. I love doing the interviews, you know. Although once in a while, you know, we try to just break out a discussion episode, you know.
Right.
And but sometimes, you know, I don't know if it's because I listen to too many other music podcast. Sometimes I don't have any ideas for a discussion because I'm like, well, these guys did that, these other guys did that, so what can we talk about? But Snowy's always good for finding some kind of subject to talk about.
Right. You know? Now, same thing with Richie too. He'll just be like, I'll be down. I got something. Okay, you can't tell me what it is. Nope, but I got something.
And that's what I prefer, because then you're on the spot and you have to think on your feet.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It actually is better that way, and it makes it more spontaneous, and it makes it for a better show. So, yeah, definitely. So you got any other great stuff coming up on Radioactive Metal that people should know about or keep tuned in for?
Actually, today as we speak, we just released an interview that Snowy did with Bobby Blitz of Overkill.
Mm.
They were just in Winnipeg. It was the very first time in their career that they played in Winnipeg.
Wow.
So, yeah, think about it, 30 years and they had never been to Winnipeg.
Yeah, I mean, I could see some other places, but Winnipeg's a pretty regular tour stop.
It is now. They have a great promoter right now over there, Corey Thomas, Ninja Cat Productions. He does everything he can to get as many bands as he can there. I mean, he is awesome. He's helped us out so much, and you know, behind the scenes with getting interviews and stuff like that. He's the life of the metal scene in Winnipeg, really.
Bookers are there. I mean, they are so important. It's amazing. I remember that you know, when I was playing out, and there was a club here in town that was getting everybody. And so it was great because it meant great opening gigs for mm-hmm. us. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they were getting, this was back when, before Quiet Riot made their comeback. So like they were booking bands like Quiet Riot and Warrant and all, but just a steady stream, and they would just pack them in. And it was, all it took was another club up in New Hampshire to go, that's the guy we want, and plucked him in. Like the whole scene just went 30 miles up north. It was, you know, it made all the difference.
Yeah, I'm sure. Something else we have coming up, and I'm actually releasing, by the time your listeners hear this, the first episode will be out. We're doing a two-part album autopsy. Maybe you're a fan of this band. You remember Possessed back in the 80s?
Yeah, classic San Francisco band.
Yes, so we have a two-part album autopsy with Jeff Becerra and producer Randy Burns, and we talk about the debut album, Seven Churches.
Oh, wow, cool.
And for those who maybe don't know, Possessed has been, a lot of people say they're the first death metal band ever.
Mm.
They predate death by a couple of years. And this album, I think The Seven Churches is more like the bridge between thrash and death metal, because they were inventing death metal, basically.
Yeah.
Jeff Becerra was the first one to actually start doing their growls all the time. And, you know, it's a great chat, man. Some great stories. Randy Burns is awesome. He's just now getting back into producing because he had stopped for many years. And who knows? It sounds like maybe they'll be working together on the next Possessed album. So.
Oh, no. That's a band that a lot of people miss, you know, I think when they go through the history of that. It's kind of, for some reason, it gets dropped off a lot of that San Francisco thrash history. But, I mean, just even the reputation they had when they came out, there were people that were just scared shitless of that band. I mean,
oh, yeah.
People talk about Venom and stuff like that, but people were just like, you know. And didn't they have they had a woman managing them, too. Was it one of their mothers or something like that?
Yes. No, it was the girlfriend of Larry Lalonde of Primus.
Yeah.
Larry Lalonde used to be in Possessed, and now he's in Primus.
That's right.
And that was his girlfriend's mother. Yeah. Debbie Albano or something.
Yeah, that's it. Yep.
Something like that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And she went on to manage a lot of big bands after that. So, yeah, she was getting, that was her start in the heavy metal world, too. we have tons of great stories of them recording that album. Like I said, it's a two part. Because we were having so much fun, we talked for 2 hours.
So. There you go. That's a sign of a great interview right there. So, guys, you know, don't miss that one then. And especially if you're not really familiar with Possessed. I think that would, you know, probably get you down that path of wanting to check out Seven Churches, definitely.
Exactly.
Yeah. Awesome.
And the cool thing is that we are releasing it exactly on the 30th anniversary of the album, the day of. We got lucky that way.
Yeah, occasionally it works out, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Oh, that's awesome. So you got some great stuff going on.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Cool.
And then, of course, you're doing another album autopsy with some jerk about Metal Church. So that's...
yeah. Exactly.
Always looking forward to it.
Yeah. It'll be fun.
Well, that's good. And, you know, I'm glad, you know, in all this time that we've known each other, that I think metal podcasting in general has gotten bigger, gotten more accepted. I think there's a lot more players in the game now, but I think it's been great that that a few of us have kind of formed this nice little community together, and everybody else that kind of wanders into it seems to fit in nicely, which is nice.
Exactly. There's some heavy hitters now in the podcast, heavy metal podcast world.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of frustrating sometimes because they get the guests that we want to get, but they have connections. So,
hey. Yeah, definitely.
So I can't blame them for taking advantage of their connections.
That's been a frustrating thing. And I know I've talked to some other people about that too, is just of trying to book guests and who are the good PR companies and who are the ones you just want to just stay away from? Mm-hmm. And I know recently we had one that the PR company handling the artist just gave us nothing but crap and just pushing back and being jerks. And it ended up that we went to the artist directly and he was like, I don't know what the hell their problem is, and just like set it all up with us himself.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I try to go direct whenever I can.
Yeah.
Especially for these album autopsies, because I found that if I go through the label or through the PR, well, because let's say like Possess, right now they don't have a record contract. So the easy thing was for me to go with, you know, directly with Jeff Becerra, you know.
Right.
But for other bands, you know, that I won't name, but, you know, because the album you want to talk about is not on the label they're currently on, they don't, the label doesn't want to set it up, even though you tell them, hey, we're going to talk about the new album too,
right.
but they don't want to set it up. So going direct usually is the best solution for us.
Yeah. Richie's had really good luck doing that. He's pretty amazing at it.
Every time I listen to your interviews, it's like, yep, Richie got this directly. Yep. He got it directly again.
Yep.
He has the magic touch, let me tell you.
He does. I don't know if the Irish accent comes over through emails or what it is, but, Yeah,
they say, oh, this guy's a cool guy, so we got to talk to him.
Yep, it works. So, you know, I'm glad to have him aboard, that's for sure. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, having a couple of good partners in it helps.
Oh, definitely.
Cool. Well, I know that we're coming up on time to actually do a very cool radioactive metal one, so we'll have to switch over communication protocols here to go do that. But it's been great to actually have you come on the show, and for those of people that don't know Radioactive Metal, to, you know, head over to radioactivemetal.org and check out all the great shows and see everything that's going on with these guys. It's definitely it's a cool show, and it's well worth checking out.
Well, thank you, Scott. I really appreciate you having me on, and I'm looking forward to our little chat a little later on in a few minutes, actually.
Yeah. Oh, me too. Absolutely. All right. Cool. Well, thanks very much, Rock, for coming on and having a little bit of chat with us.
Awesome.
All right, man. Well, I will talk to you again in 5 minutes or so.
Got it.
And yes, indeed, we did have a great chat. About 5 minutes later, got on the phone with Craig Wells, former guitarist of Metal Church, and did a great album autopsy on the classic Metal Church album, The Dark, which is where the track that you just heard came from. Good stuff on that one, and big thanks to Rock for actually including me on that one. I very much appreciate it. And he tells me that one should be posted on Radioactive Metal sometime in November, and we will keep you updated on that. And of course, if you go to earpeeler.com, then you would already know what's on Radioactive Metal. So there's a good way to keep up with all of your metal podcasts there with earpeeler.com. So on to our next guest on the show this week, and that would be Jerry Gaskill. Everyone knows him as the drummer for King's X, but Jerry also has his brand new solo album. It's called Love and Scars. It comes out on Rat Pack Records on October 30th. You can go up to Rat Pack Records and see all the pre-order stuff that's available there. You can also go right from focusonmetal.net, and if you scroll down a little bit, you will see a banner ad for Jerry Gaskill's Love and Scars. If you click on that, that will take you right to the pre-order page at Rat Pack. See how easy we made this for you? And just a heads up, as we head into this interview, as I said, the album doesn't come out until October 30th, and of course, with our pre-release agreements with Rat Pack, that means that we can't play you anything off of the new album on the show. Apologize for that, but as you will discover in the interview, we haven't been able to hear a lot of the album yet either. In fact, at the time of the interview, we'd only heard one song, and since then we've heard a little bit more, but again, Rat Pack is keeping this one pretty much under wraps. So with that, here is our discussion we had with Jerry Gaskill.
Focus on Metal.
Hey, Jerry, how you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
We're great. Good to talk to you again. It's been a couple of years.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm here again with my co-host, Scott.
Hey, Jerry, how are we doing?
Hey, Scott.
I'm the reason when you called the first time that nothing picked up because I'm the dumbass engineer that forgot to actually connect the audio inputs for the recording system. So I apologize for that.
Okay. I'll physically okay now.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so of course, you know, just remember next solo album you do, just don't hire me to engineer. I'll probably miss a song or two on you, but
okay, don't worry, I won't. I'll remember that.
So it's great to hear from you again. Last time we talked to you, you were just, you know, thinking about getting back to getting this thing rolling again, and here we are talking to you again, and it's done, and it's pretty cool to hear.
Yeah, so it's done, and it's very cool to hear. It's exciting to me. I mean, just, yeah. I don't remember the last time we talked, but...
Well, it was
2012.
Yeah, it was before you had your second heart attack and your house got blown down by Hurricane Sandy. So you've had a lot happen since then.
It was before the hurricane.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you were just thinking about going in to record it, and then of course, you know, you had the heart attack and the hurricane, and. Yeah, you've had a lot happen.
Yeah, we hadn't even done the drums yet. We were thinking about, I think, getting ready to do the drums. Then the hurricane happened, and that put a stop to that for a while. And yeah, a lot of obstacles along the way, but hey, it's done. I'm happy about it. We're excited. We're proud. And there you go.
Yeah, so did you write any more since you started recording it, or did you just use the songs that you'd written before everything happened?
Yeah, the songs are all written. I've come up with some lyrics that have to do with some of the things that have happened since then.
Yeah.
But the music was all pretty much written.
Okay. And can you tell us about some of the guys you have actually playing on the record? I know Billy Sheehan is one. I think Phil Keaggy is another one. Who?
Billy Sheehan, Phil Keaggy.
Yeah.
Earl Flick playing on a couple tunes.
Okay.
Absolutely awesome. Everybody did the most perfect things imaginable.
Yeah.
J.D. DeServio from Black Label Society played on tune.
Yeah.
Some local friends of mine, Bob Berger, played bass on tune. I love Bob. I played with him a lot around town.
Yeah.
My son sang on the tune. Other people, Andy Blacksugar, who played throughout the whole record. Just incredible stuff.
Yeah, now what makes you pick the musicians to play on the tracks? Like, I know you're friends with some of them, maybe closer friends with some than others. Like, do you listen to the track and say, I'd love this guy to play on it, I can really hear him playing on it, or how does that all work?
Actually, that is kind of what happened, especially with Earl and Phil and JD. I just felt that the songs that they played on were made for them. I just felt they needed to play on them. And I went to them with those songs, and they never heard the songs before and learned them on the spot and came up with absolute magic.
Yeah.
Exactly as I had hoped. And we felt like we're batting 1,000. And Billy, I didn't even think about Billy playing on the record, but we were somewhere after a show hanging out with him and his wife, my wife and I, and him and his wife. And I was talking about the record. And he said, "Oh, man, I'd love to play on it, man. Anything I can do, I'd love to do it." And I thought, okay, well, let me think about it. And I came up with 2 songs for him to play on. And again, absolute magic.
Yeah. Now, Phil Keaggy's name is interesting because we did a discography, the King's X discography, with Ty about 1.5 years ago, and I believe he was in King's X originally. So you've obviously you've remained friends with him for a long time.
Who was in King's X originally?
Was Phil Keaggy in King's X?
No, King's X was always just with me, Ty, and Doug.
Oh, okay.
But Doug and I were in the Phil Keaggy band.
Ah, okay. I knew I recognized the name in the press release, and I figured I'd ask you about him.
Yeah, Doug and I were in his band and toured for about 6 months.
Okay.
So that's the connection there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So, of course, you know, one thing that struck me immediately was the title of the solo album, Love and Scars. And I looked at that and said, wow, that really sums up the Jerry Gaskell experience for the last couple of years. It just seemed like a perfect title for it.
Oh, awesome. I felt the same way. I remember looking in the mirror, getting ready to take a shower, and I saw my chest, and I saw the word scars, and I got into the shower, and then the word love came to mind, love and scars, and it made me feel happy.
Yeah.
It felt like that tells you what this record's all about.
Yeah.
And I can stand by that. Yeah.
Yeah, now, Jerry, tell us about some of the support you received, the letters of support you received in the last couple of years, without going into specifics about it. Like, you seem to have got a tremendous amount of love and support from a lot of the fans around the world, especially.
Oh, absolutely. I can't even express how grateful and thankful I am for all of that, how appreciative I am. The love has been overwhelming since the first heart attack through everything I've been through. It's just been... I mean, I felt the prayers, I felt the love, I felt the support, and all that has helped me make it through and continue to be strong, no doubt.
Yeah. Mm.
So the artwork also on the album is very interesting as well. Is there a story behind the actual artwork for it?
Well, I had ideas. I had other ideas in mind, even another title, and I had a cover in mind, but I never felt completely 100% comfortable with it. And then, sort of at the last minute, I decided to call it something different, which was Love and Scars, which makes me, like I said, happy. I feel that really speaks what this record is. And I always had the idea of a heart on the record. I had to have some kind of a heart. I actually thought of a real heart, an actual heart, with like a crown, you know, shoved on the blood coming off of it. You know, that was my original idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then Joe O'Brien from Rat Pack Records came up with this idea. And I just absolutely loved it. And felt that expressed even more what this record is saying and what I'm feeling.
Mm.
And it's just a really strong, beautiful image to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it is nice.
It makes you keep looking at it because you see the heart and then you see that nautilus shape above it and you kind of have this, it's almost this thing of like of protection and vulnerability all in like one piece of art.
That is awesome. And I love how it's in a frame and the frame is slightly askew.
Mm.
I love that.
Yeah, now Jerry, were you signed to Rat Pack a couple of years ago when you started recording this? Did you have a label?
No, we had nothing. We were doing it all on our own.
Okay.
Nice. I was working with we just decided to start our own label. And I was working with another friend who was helping us fund the record. And we're just going to do it all on our own. And then we decided to send the song to Rat Pack. And they loved it. and wanted to make the whole record. And we said, let's just do it.
Awesome.
And, we're very excited about it.
Yeah, now, a lot of artists release solo records, and they might sing on it, they might play guitar on it, play bass on it, but they're always stuck when it comes to the drummer. Now, you're in the position of being a drummer where you probably could have played guitar, bass, drums, and sang on the whole thing. Did you ever really think of doing that on any of the tracks?
Well, on my first solo record, I played a lot of guitar. I played a lot of the acoustic guitar. Mm. And then Ty did everything else on the record. I played drums, of course. I sang everything. But I really don't feel like I could make a record on my own. It wouldn't have all the greatness that I think this record has, because I'm not a great guitar player and I'm not a great bass player. I can get by. I can make something happen. But this record just has so many great players on it that are doing things that I could only imagine in my head and my fingers won't do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And to have them on there is just very, very exciting.
Yeah. Now, when you write, do you primarily write on guitar? Do you play piano? What's your instrument of choice to write music on?
Actually, both of those, guitar or piano. All songs I've written have been either on the guitar, mainly on the guitar, and I've written some songs on the piano as well.
Okay.
There's one song on this record I wrote on the piano.
So,
which I don't play piano very well either. I just play chords. Oh, I like where that sounds. Put my finger somewhere. Oh, I like where that sounds.
Jerry, I don't play any instruments, so you play them all better than me.
All right. You're not a very good engineer either.
No, that's Scott.
that's Scott. Okay.
Yeah. I play all kinds of crap. I'm just off my game tonight with engineering.
Right?
But, I got to compliment you too of going with Rat Pack, and you know we're always we kind of have a running joke of, you know, East Coast metal, and I know, you know, you down in New Jersey and Rat Pack is just about 20 miles away from us up the road in New Hampshire, and that's very cool, and also the fact that, you know, with Joe up there, I mean, he's just just an absolute metal fan as well, and just kind of a raving lunatic in person, just so much energy and stuff. So it was really great to see you hooked up with Rat Pack.
Cool. Yeah, I love Joe and I love Rat Pack. They're there for for the artists and themselves, which is a great, great thing.
Yeah,
I couldn't be happier working with anybody than with Rat Pack.
Yeah, and you know, I like the fact also too. One thing that I always recommend with people is the fact that, you know, with the bundles and things too. I mean, they do some very affordable things that make people want to go out and actually buy the music as well, which is, I mean, just so important nowadays.
Yeah, it makes me want to buy it. I want to buy my own bundles.
So you'll have to have Joe send you down a big old container of just the stickers. You can stick them all over New Jersey.
Yeah, I want to get entered into the, so I can win that big bundle, one of those things.
There you go.
Yeah, you can call
or something.
You can call yourself, Jerry.
Yeah, I'll call myself. Yeah, that's awesome. I love everything they do, man. It's classy. It looks good. It's made for the fans as well as for us.
Absolutely. You got it right.
Yeah, well, we're all big into the physical product, so I love the way they do all the different options you can get on it. You know, I know the download is the thing to do now, but you can't beat the physical product, the CD and maybe the T-shirt and stuff like that. It's great stuff.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe even vinyl. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the one thing that I was really surprised about was that I thought for sure you'd have at least have a vinyl version of it as well.
Yeah, we might. We've talked about it. I don't know. We might. Hmm. We might talk a bit more about that.
Yeah. So you still a vinyl guy, Jerry? Do you still like the old stuff?
Well, yeah, I do. I actually don't even have, a turntable at home right now.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking I need to do that. And one of the regrets of my life, one of the big regrets of my life, is that I got rid of all my albums.
I'm thinking
that. You know, that and my baseball cards.
Wow.
I got rid of those too.
Oh.
But at the time, I was happy because I was able to pay rent. But, you know, that was many years ago. But now I'm thinking, you know, I just wish I had them just so I could look at them. But I don't.
Yeah.
And, I have to move on.
Yeah. Yeah. I know with me, you know, I just put my collection away. Kept it out of the, you know, out of sight of everybody that way there. They're not like, you know, you're going to get rid of that anytime soon. So now it's come back and I've, you know, got my nice big collection of vinyl. So I'm a happy camper.
You're lucky.
Yeah.
You're lucky. You did the right thing.
Yeah. Well, I hope so.
So Jerry, I know you went out with King's X and over the summer, and you did selected dates. You played up in our area as well, but what from a lifestyle point of view, what did it take for you to get back behind the kit to play a full set? Like, did you have to make drastic changes in your life after your second heart attack, or how did that work?
Well, I don't know if I had to, but I did. I started seeing a personal trainer for one.
Okay.
And I've become way stronger than I've ever been. And I absolutely love it. I hate it when I'm there. I hate it when he's kicking my ass. But I love it when he's not. You know what I'm saying? And I feel so much better. And I'm so much more aware of my body now. And when I'm not working out, I'm thinking about working out. So, actually, I just got home from a session with him just now. And he kicked my ass harder than ever. But I'm feeling better than ever.
Okay.
So, and I don't know if I had to do that to get behind the drums, but I chose to do that because I want to be as strong as I can.
Right.
And after the first heart attack, I was in the hospital. I'm thinking, you know, I'm not going to ever play drums again if I can't get up there and be 100%, if not even more than 100% than I was before. I'm not even going to play. If I get up there and think, oh, he used to be so great. He's such a trooper trying to do it still. I said, I'm never going to do that. I just won't ever play again, you know? But I feel like I'm stronger than ever.
Yeah, and what about your diet? Did you have to change anything on your diet?
Well, I did. Actually, after the first heart attack, Doug sent me this link to a movie called Forks Over Knives. I don't know if you're aware of that or not.
No, I've never heard of it.
But it's basically just an entire plant-based diet. And for about 2 years, over 2 years, that's the way I ate. I had no desire to eat. I ate no meat at all. I had no desire to eat meat. And I felt great. And then the funny thing, when I was in the hospital the second time, after a second heart attack, for some reason, without really any thought, I just decided, you know, I'll just eat whatever. If I want to eat meat, I'll eat meat. But I still know what my body wants and what it doesn't want.
Hmm.
And I listen to it. I think that's all we all need to do, just listen to our damn bodies.
Yeah.
Our bodies are always telling us what it wants and what it doesn't want. So, I mean, I'll be totally happy not eating meat ever again and only eating plant-based foods.
Okay.
And if I had a personal chef who made all my meals for me at all times, I would totally eat only plant-based foods.
Hmm.
But since I don't, you know, I go out to eat, I'll eat some meat here and there or whatever. But which isn't bad. I mean, it's okay to eat some meat. It's not going to really harm us unless we're eating, like, really terrible meat.
Yeah.
Well, that's.
But I feel good. I feel like I know what I can eat.
Well, that's the temptation when you're on the road, Jerry, is to just grab and go.
Yeah, but it's not really even a temptation for me.
Yeah.
I'm not tempted to eat anything I don't want to eat.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm saying, oh, man, I want to eat a burger, but I know I shouldn't. No, I don't even care. If I want a burger, I'll eat a damn burger.
Yeah.
And I have eaten burgers. I've eaten two burgers since the heart attacks. And I ate them at places that were my favorites before, and I wasn't even moved. Didn't even want it.
Wow.
So why eat it if I don't even want it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's also some really cool timing, I think, too, of when your album is coming out, because it just seems like lately in the last, I don't know, would you say like maybe like the next last month and a half, Richie, there's been just a lot of online, just social comments about people discovering King's X for the first time, or just, I don't know, I've been seeing a lot of traffic with that. So I just thought, wow, this is just what an amazing coincidence that when people are all getting this brand new interest in King's X, that, you know, boom, out comes Jerry with his solo album. So I thought, wow, you just couldn't have timed it any better.
Oh, I hope so, man. I hope that people just kind of like are just moved right toward it.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's just a matter of people hearing this record. And I think you're going to dig it. Just, you know, whether you're a King's X fan or not a King's X fan. And I'm just really excited about it. I'm a fan myself. That's not usually the case with the music I make.
Yeah.
So I am a fan.
Well, the one thing I think is unique in King's X with you, Jerry, is you haven't released much outside the band. And you look at Doug. Doug's been on a million albums. And Ty has played with the Jelly Jam and Platypus, and he's released solo records as well. And you, this is only your second release. So I think that stands out a little bit for a King's X fan or even a fan of music to want to, you know, check it out.
Yeah, I hope so. Again, I hope so.
Yeah.
I really feel like maybe the stars could possibly be aligning so that everything could possibly work in its favor.
Yeah.
I feel that strongly about this record.
Okay. Well, hopefully we could help push those stars into alignment as well and get the word out about the album. And I mean, I've already got it up on our main page. I just popped the Rat Pack graphic and the pre-order link right to them as well to start to try to get some traction for it. But hopefully just, you know, hearing from you is always, I think, a much bigger deal than, you know, in the hearts and minds of music fans. You know, get the guy talking about it, and then they really start getting interested and wanting to check it out. So that was a big deal for Richie and I to get you on and let everybody hear you talk about the album.
Oh, awesome, man. I really appreciate it. I hope that can happen. And you haven't even heard the record yet.
Just we've had the privilege of hearing one song.
We've heard one track.
Heard one song. That's all anybody's heard is one song.
Yeah, we did ask, but we didn't get sent anything else.
Yeah. I know. We're keeping it pretty under wraps.
Okay. So, Jerry, I do got to ask you a King's X question. It's been about 7 or 8 years now since you guys actually went into the studio to record anything. Has there been any talk about that at all?
Actually, there is talk. We are actively pursuing it right now.
Yes. Richie's a happy boy now.
You know, I don't know when it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I would say most likely it will happen in the pretty near future.
Excellent.
Nice.
And
For me, I just have to be ready. I want it to be, if we're going to make another King's X record, I want it to be the best one we've ever made.
Yeah.
And I want it to be the right album. You know, plus I want to get this record. I want to get my record. I want to think about that. Mm. I want to talk about that for a while.
Mm-hmm. Sure, I don't blame
people
you.
To let that, that happen. And I, a part of me feels like this record, Love and Scars, could even open up people's interest in King's X again.
Mm-hmm.
No, I feel that strongly about this record. So if that be the case, then maybe I'll be ready to make another King's X record. I think if anybody's holding it back, it's me.
And final question from me, Jerry. A listener of the show, Wayne Simmons, he's a published author. And he said he wanted me to ask you about your writing, your prose writing, because he said that you wrote the story on Gretchen Goes to Nebraska on the inside of the album. He wanted to know, have you ever tried to pursue that any further since then? Like to write, you know, maybe get something published, be a short story or book or something?
I absolutely have plans of doing that. Yes, I have many other things I've written, and I do plan on that. I've been talking a little bit with my manager about that, and I'm going to pursue that. It's definitely not really in the back of my mind. It's getting closer to the forefront of my mind.
Mm.
So I think I want that to be something. And again, maybe this record, Love and Scars, can help catapult that into existence as well.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's
actually... Wayne Simmons, that name sounds familiar. I think he may have sent me a book.
He did.
He did. Man, I think I started reading it and I liked it.
Okay.
But I've got so much going on and so many other things that I haven't got to finish it yet. I forget what it's called, though. What was it called? Do you remember?
Sorry, I don't. I can ask him.
No!
Yeah, but I definitely started reading it and I was very, very interested in it, and I do want to finish it. You can tell him that if you see.
Yeah, I will.
Awesome, awesome. Well, again, Jerry, you know, we really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us, especially after coming back to getting your ass kicked from the trainer and talk to the two of us. But it's always great to have you on the show, and you know, looking forward to talking to you again, either, you know, when you decide to get some books out or when, you know, King's X put something out. But we definitely will, you know, always love having you on the show.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate it. My pleasure.
All right.
All right, Jerry.
Have a good rest of the night, my friend, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, man, can't wait for you to hear the whole record.
Awesome. We can't wait either.
Yep, can't wait.
We're going to go hijack Joe and force him to give it to us.
You can wait. You can wait another month, October 30th.
Yeah, all right. We'll be good.
See. You can do whatever you want to do, though. But
all right.
You're probably going to have to wait until October 30th. All right,
thanks a lot. All right,
no problem,
Jerry. Bye.
All right, see you, bye.
So again, as a reminder, you can either head to Rat Pack Records and order up that Jerry Gaskill album, or go right over to focusonmetal.net, and I have the banner ad right there for you to click on and bring you right over to the Rat Pack page. And they have lots of different bundles for you to choose from. And just to jump back quickly to something that was mentioned in the interview, that would be Wayne Simmons. And Wayne used to do a little bit of writing for Focus on Metal for a bit. Great writer. Those of you in the UK, especially our Platinum Rock Radio listeners, plus all our other listeners over in the UK, may be familiar with Wayne's writing. He writes for Skin Deep magazine, the tattoo magazine, and he also does a lot of album reviews for Power Play. But in particular, Richie was mentioning to Jerry about the books that Wayne has written, and depending on what country you're in, it makes the book availability vary. So over in the UK and over in Ireland, you've got The Girl in the Basement, Plastic Jesus, Flu, Fever, Drop Dead Gorgeous, and Doll Parts are all available in that market. Over in the US, it's only The Girl in the Basement, Flu, or Fever. And then he's got some various titles out in Turkey, Spain, as well as in Germany and Austria. And if you want to find out what Wayne is up to, and he's up to a lot, you can go to Wayne Simmons, that's with two M's, .org. Or you can also follow him on Twitter. And on Twitter, you can hook up with him at Horror Who, which is HORRORHOO. Wow, that actually makes a pretty good unplanned segue. The plan right now for next week's show is to do a Halloween show. I looked back through all the episodes going all the way back to 2010 and realized we have never done a Halloween show here on Focus on Metal. So the plan is to rectify that next week with our first ever Focus on Metal Halloween show. And no, I'm not going to do all kinds of schlocky horror things or any out of the crap like that. A while back, I was able to sit down and have a chat with Count William. He is the guy behind the bands Ravensthorn and Witchcross. So two bands that are firmly in the horror metal genre. So hey, why not do a Halloween show with Count William? So unless I suffer some kind of massive hard drive crash, that's the plan next week, is to do our first ever Focus on Metal Halloween show with my special guest, Count William. And after that, we launch into November, which, as we all know, is Metal Month. So that is it for this week. Again, third reminder, go up to Rat Pack Records or click on the link at focusonmetal.net to pre-order your Jerry Gaskill album, Love and Scars. Also, if you want to get in on the Martin Popoff offer, you can go over to focusonmetal.blogspot.com and read the whole thing there, the list of books, descriptions, all that good stuff. Get in on that. Martin's a great author and a dyed-in-the-wool, true blue metalhead, so you got to check out some of the writing from this guy. And speaking about checking out writing, remember to head over to waynesimmons.org, see what that guy's got going. Appreciated it when he was with us doing some reviews for us. And of course, the guy has blossomed into doing all kinds of crazy stuff over there. Good on him. And while you're trolling around the internets, make sure you keep up with us on focusonmetal.net. focusonmetal.blogspot.com. You can follow us on Twitter. You can also hook up with us on Facebook. And I believe we even got a YouTube channel out there. Well, actually, I know we have a YouTube channel out there. So you can subscribe to that as well. And one other thing before we go, just want to mention it. If you haven't done so already, pick up the new one by Metal Allegiance and go get the physical copy. Get the deluxe version with the DVD. Well worth it. Awesome DVD. Goes through the making of every single song on the album. Some great footage, great talk with a lot of people. You gotta see it. It is an awesome DVD. Sometimes you get these making of DVDs along with the CDs, and yeah, they're all right. This one is a great one. I mean, everybody out there knows Mike Portnoy. He's a character. He knows how to have fun when he's doing stuff, and he is all over the place in this video, just being Mike Portnoy. So go out and get yourself that one. And oh, while I remember as well, I also have to say that, you know, when Rock mentioned that band, Once Human, incredible band. Everything that Rock said about that band, dead nuts on. Great band, and it does so remind me of Arch Enemy with Angela singing.
fantastic album. If you like Arch Enemy, especially all the stuff that Angela did, then you have to go pick up Once Human. Great stuff. So that's it. Unless something else pops into my head in the next 2.5 seconds, that's a wrap for this week. So for Richie, myself, and everybody else here at Focus on Metal, have yourselves a good metal week. And until we talk to you again next week, remember,
focus on metal.
Everything else is insignificant.
Still here? It's over. Go home.